All right, Esther chapter number 1 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, which is, this is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 princes. I'm sorry, provinces. India to Ethiopia. That is quite the range. That's some land, brother. That's a lot of ground. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your perfect word. Although, Lord, as we study through Esther, we can so see your hand. You were so part of Mordecai and Esther's life. And thank you for recording it, that we could see it and take some comfort. And Lord, I pray that we'd be challenged tonight for such a time as this. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Esther chapter 1 and verse 1. Of course, the popular saying of Esther, the word God is not anywhere in it written. His hand is certainly seen all through it. Can you turn me down just a little? I feel like it's ringing just a little bit. Rice is like, no, man, don't turn it down. In Esther chapter 1, quickly, we're going to go through the first four chapters, and we'll settle in. The introduction is probably two times as long as the actual message, but we got to set some things up for our message at the end of chapter 4. Esther chapter 1, it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is the king, and he reigns from India to Ethiopia. 120 provinces. Provinces would be like land sections. This man is, the amount of land that covers is massive, if you think about how far that is. That is through the entire Middle East. Of course, we know where India is, and we know where Ethiopia is. Some of us have even been there. Is that correct, Ms. Maysoon? All right, very good. Maysoon is from Ethiopia. I've touched soil in Ethiopia, but that's about as far as I got. I got it to their airport, had some really good coffee, and that was about it. We were on our way. So King Ahasuerus, as we go down to verse 2, it tells us specifically where his palace is. It says, in those days when the King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. Shushan is what we would call modern-day Iran. That's where his palace made touchdown there, and that was where his capital was. As we continue on, tell us about King Ahasuerus. What is he doing? Well, what he's doing is he makes a feast. Makes a feast to show off all the riches of his land. If you own from India to Ethiopia, I don't think you need a feast to prove how rich you are. If your kingdom, or which you are responsible for, is the territory from India to Ethiopia, it's unnecessary or excessive to have a feast to flaunt your riches. You just bring out a map, right? Hey, I run from here to there. That's my stomping ground. Ethiopia to India. And that's all you have to say. No one can compete with that. But as we see throughout scriptures and personally in our own lives, the tendency for pride. It's funny, not funny, it's quite sad actually, if you've ever met someone that struggles with the truth. They'll make up lies unprompted. They'll just lie. They'll just make up a story. No one's talking to them. No one's referenced them. No one has said anything to them. So is pride. Pride is one of those things where, hey, I need... Maybe he was insecure in himself. I don't know. I don't know how you could reign from India to Ethiopia and feel insecure. But whatever it was, he puts this feast together and showed off the riches, as the Bible says in verse 4, of his glorious kingdom. Wanted to show off a bit. Here to tell you, showing off never goes well for anybody. It's one thing to share a blessing. It's another thing to show off and act in pride. Well, while he's doing that, on day 7 of the feast, his wife Vashti, he has the queen, she's doing the same thing, but all the guys are at one party, all the ladies are at another in verse 9. And Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So Vashti is married to Ahasuerus. And she has a feast for the ladies. Well, on the 7th day, the king was drunk and he says, bring my wife in here. I'm going to, not only have I expressed my glorious riches of the kingdom, now he wants to flaunt, as the Bible says, the beauty of his wife. So he brings her in and he wants to show her off. Again, maybe some insecurities, whatever. It's a source of pride. In verse 11, it says, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king. So he sends word. He doesn't even go himself to get her. He sends somebody. I guess if you run from India to Ethiopia, you can do that. And he goes and he sends for his wife. And the Bible says in verse 12, she refuses. She refuses, and it's important to see this, to come at the king's commandment. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't, hey, Vashti, when you get around to it, if it works in your schedule, if you could. But he demanded and said, I demand that you come right here. She knew what it was all about. She knew what was going on. Maybe she was aware of the character of her husband and says, this man's liquored up. It's not safe for me to even go. And she refuses. Well, the Bible says that it made the king mad. Wroth. His angers were burned within him. Say, I thought we were talking about chapter 4. Why do we need chapter 1? Because you're going to see a common theme through this. Pride. The danger of pride. She didn't want to go. Who's he to tell me I got to be somewhere at a certain time? Well, that made him fuming. The king calls his henchman, if you will, around and says, can you bring out the law? Let's see specifically what my rights are here. And they looked and they said, you know, this isn't good. This isn't just not good for you, but it's not good for the princes. It's not good for men from coast to coast, from India to Ethiopia. This is not good. Word is going to get out that the ladies can talk against their husbands. We need to squash this right now. Let's put an end to this. Say, where do you come out on this social issue? That is not the case here. We are talking about an act of pride. Say, do you think a husband should be able to demand of his wife? Man, you got bigger problems if you're demanding, commanding your wife to do something at a drunken 7-day feast and she doesn't show up. There's a lot of other issues before we get to that. But don't worry, we'll touch on that in a little while. And he says, what should we do? And they said, we got to do something or else this thing is going to get out of hand. And he says, all right, let's replace her. And so they do. They kick her out. Look at verse 22. And he sent letters into all the king's provinces. How many provinces were there? 120, right? How many? 127, thank you. There he sends out letters into all 127 provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house. And that it should be ruled, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. So there you go. King got mad. He responds. He reacts. And what do we see? We see from verse 1 to verse 22, pride. We got a king upset with his wife because he was trying to show off what it is that he had, and she didn't want to come, and it got into a contentious match. And the kingdom is all the worse for it. We see God's hand in it. Chapter 2. They begin the search for the new queen. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 3, and let the king appoint officers to all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women under the custody of Haig, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for the purification be given them. So he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. He sends out officers and they go through all 127 provinces and they find the pretty virgins and they bring them and they bring them into the house, and then they're going to go through a process. It's a long process. It's a year-long process. The Bible says in verse 4, and let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. It is a year-long process, I feel like we're watching reality television. The bachelor here is picking out his new queen, and they have a whole year to get all pretty and nice, and then at the end of that year, they're going to pick somebody. Well, they went from place to place, as the title of our book says, Queen Esther. The book of Esther shows up. The Bible says in verse 6, who had been carried away from Jerusalem, we have a man, his name is Mordecai. And Mordecai has a... Well, Mordecai is in this land not because he was born there. He's actually from Jerusalem, but he's been taken captive. Remember last week we talked about... I think it was last week. Did we talk about Daniel last week? Remember Daniel? Yes, that was last week. Daniel and Lot. Remember Daniel and Lot? We compared them? All right, very good. Some of you were... I think I was here. I think it was last week. And remember Daniel got taken away as a young man into the land of Babylon? That's exactly what happens here. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah. If you're in our young adults class, we studied about him. He's one of the last four kings of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Was Mordecai born in the land of Ahasuerus? Well, kind of. I mean, if he owned from India all the way to Ethiopia, it kind of crosses over in Jerusalem. But they were there at this place because they were taken captive. Mordecai has he has an uncle, and his uncle has a daughter, and her name is Hadassah, or what we would call Esther. So Mordecai has a... So if we do the math, or the family tree, so imagine your uncle's daughter. We call that your cousin. All right, so Mordecai has a cousin who, what we take away from this is maybe a bit younger, Esther. Esther's parents are dead, and he's taken responsibility to keep track of her, take care of her. In verse 11, every day, what happens? Esther goes, and she's brought out, and she's brought before the into this group of women, and she's going through that purification. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And Mordecai gives her this advice. He says, don't reveal who you are, meaning don't tell them you're a Jew. He says, keep that secret. Tells her that twice. Every day Mordecai would go, her cousin would go and walked every day before the court in verse 11 of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Is she still in the house? Here's ladies coming out of the gate crying, didn't pick me, and Esther's still inside. She's gone through every step, every bit of the process. And the Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 2, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his own daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. She was a beautiful woman, the Bible says. And the king chooses her. Look at verse 17. I love the wording of verse 17. The king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained, look, grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. We don't see Vashti's name show up again. She's booted out, kicked out of the kingdom, loses a lot, all because of pride. And there, Queen Esther sitting at the side of her king, who just a few moments ago, a year ago, was just a just a young girl. She has a crown upon her head. All our little girls are imagining being a queen. How nice and how pretty and what that must all be. Any of you girls ever dream about that? Anybody do that as a girl? Jordan says yes. All right. Wesley? All right. Anybody as a girl want to be a queen or a princess? All right. Thank you, Miss Molly. All right. She's like, I'll play along. Move along, please. If it gets you closer to the end, yes. I thought of Mordecai. I wanted to be Esther. I wanted to be it all. Now go on. Verse 20, Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people. So again, as Mordecai has encouraged her, keep hidden who you are. As Mordecai had not charged her, for Esther did the commandment of Mordecai. Do you see the difference between Vashti and Mordecai Esther? Mordecai goes and says, Esther, I think it would be wise of you not to say who you are or where you're from. She says, I'm the queen. I'll do what I want. No, we don't see that. We see the humility of Esther and her putting herself under the authority of the one that's been watching out for her. And that was a wise move on Esther's part. Mordecai goes on to save the king's life. There was plans or talks of trying to kill the king. Sure, if you run from India, say, why do you keep pointing over here? Because I'm imagining a map, and this is where India is, and it goes around, and Ethiopia is over here. So if your kingdom is from India to Ethiopia, surely there are threats on your life. Two guys try and kill him, and Mordecai hears about it. And he goes and he tells. How did Mordecai get to where he was? Does anyone remember? He was taken what? Captive. And the person that was responsible maybe for taking him captive was threatened to be killed. And yet he still said something. Tells of our integrity of Mordecai. Good. Speaks up for him. Because, well, maybe Mordecai recognized that they were there for a purpose. Maybe he was willing to say, I don't understand, but I trust God. See, what we want is understanding, then we'll trust. And what God says or wants is, even though you don't understand, I need you to trust me. Mordecai doesn't, as we see in the passage, doesn't do anything wrong. And we come to chapter 3. In chapter 3, a new person is appointed. His name is Haman. And the king's servants, in verse 2, it says, that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. Haman is highly promoted by King Ahasuerus, as we see in verse 1. And everyone bows to him. He is like the second in charge, almost like a Joseph, if you will. And everyone bows to him. He just lacks the character of Joseph. And reverenced him, except for one. Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. So here comes Haman going down the street. Everybody drops, kissing his hand, doing all that kind of stuff. Mordecai's just watching him as he goes by. Did no reverence, no acknowledging. Well, guess what we're going to see? And see pride. In verse 5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Haman, the second in command, if we study correctly, to King Ahasuerus, which runs a kingdom from India all the way to Ethiopia, maybe even in line to be the next king, one person doesn't bow down. And he flips out. That's pride. That's pride. Wanting what you can't have. That's pride. And that's what shows up in Haman's life. So he comes up with this ill-devised plan, if you will, in verse 6. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought... Look at what it says here. He couldn't go after Mordecai alone. So he says, here's what I'll do. I'll kill all the Jews. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. It's let out. Mordecai's maybe secret. Maybe he didn't keep it. Whatever it was, but it gets back to Haman that Mordecai's a Jew. And he says, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try and exterminate a culture of people. The devil from day one has always been attacking God's people. Because if God doesn't have people, that breaks the covenant. Verse 13, he's successful in coming up with a plan. Say, who would go along with a plan like that? Well, we've seen in our modern day world, within the last 100 years, it's possible. The Bible says, then letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. In one day, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Haman even so wickedly goes to the king Ahasuerus, and the king's like, I don't know about this. He goes, I'll give you 10,000 pieces of silver if you let me do it. And he's like, all right, I'll let you do that. He says, we're going to make a killing on this. Because we're going to kill all the Jews and we're going to take all their stuff. Chapter 4, it's related to, so who do we have? We have King Ahasuerus. His queen is now who? Esther. Second to Ahasuerus, or at least highly promoted among the kingdom, is who? Haman. Esther's cousin is Mordecai. Burned Haman. So now Haman's going to wipe out the entire nation of Israel. I think he would have had better luck going against Mordecai himself. Might have even gotten away with it. But you put a mark on God's chosen people, well, now you got trouble. Mordecai relays the story to Esther, and Esther says, I don't know what to do. He says, you've got to talk to the king. She goes, you don't understand. You can't just come walking in here. If he doesn't call for you, and he doesn't like what you're saying, he'll just put you to death. Even me. In verse 11, and all the king's servants, all the king's servants, and the people of the king's provinces, in chapter 4, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to him. Come unto the king these 30 days. She says, the problem is you're asking me to go before the king and he didn't ask for me. And if he doesn't like what he hears and he doesn't extend his scepter, I'm going to die. Look at what Mordecai says. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape to the king's house more than all the Jews. Look at what he says. It's so important here. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, look at what he says. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. You know what he just said? If Haman gets away with it, here's the deal. God will protect his own people. Just some of us are going to die. He says, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom Look at this. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He says, could it possibly be that God has orchestrated this entire thing for you to be at this place, at this time, under these circumstances? Could it be, Esther? Now, I understand that there is no call for the extermination of Christians here at this time. Here. You talk to Brother DeMeo. Brother DeMeo, you've been reading up on some persecuted Christians. Throughout the world, there is persecution. That's a real thing. Thankfully, as of right now, no one hindered us in any way from coming here. Thankfully. The only hindrance for us coming to church is, well, our own distractions. Only reason people don't go to church is they have chosen not to come to church. Only reason a person would ever be, well, that wouldn't live as a Christian in this modern day America is because they have chosen to not live as a Christian. No one has forced them in any way. But the fight against righteousness is all too real. There is a direct attack, not on Christianity, but I see this on Christian homes. I see it by everything, if you turn on the television, by everything you watch. I'm not here to rail on Disney, but there's not an intact family in Disney anywhere. One, I think The Incredibles. Husband and wife. Is there any other? Can anyone think of another one? Husband and wife. What is it? Swiss Family Robinson. Love Swiss Family Robinson. Excellent. But may I say the last, there's always a you watch anything. Hey, if you can find anything good to watch, you let me know. You let me know. There's a great show, but there's a couple words or this. There's always something. There's always an attack on the family. So I would like to portray the thought tonight, quickly, simply. Is it possible that you are right where you're at right now at this time to fight not against the government, but fight for something? Fight for your family. Look at Psalm 78 tonight. We're going to look at just a thought briefly. Say, it's not at the place. There's no Haman. Oh, there is a Haman. There's a devil, and he's very real, and he wants to undo the Christian home. For such a time as this, for Christians to stand for what is right. Psalm 78, I love these verses. I've looked at them many a times. In verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright. Hey, there's been some people before us that made maybe a mess of some things, but right now, right here, it's called upon fathers here for such a time as this to stand for what is right. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Amen. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And what this world is trying to undo, break this and shatter the thought of a husband and wife, a father. You watch any TV show, who's the dumbest guy on the show? Dad. Why? Because he's the one that's supposed to lead it. You ask the world, you ask anybody, for such a time as this, that fathers and husbands need to stand. They need to lead. They need to lead how? Not just by word, but by example, dads, husbands. Proverbs chapter 20. Look there. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What do we need? We need some men to walk in integrity. To do that which is right, regardless of the outcome. That's what Mordecai was asking Esther. Esther, I need you to stand up for what is right, regardless of the outcome. You're the only chance we have. There's little eyes looking at you. Saying, Dad, I need you to stand for what is right, regardless of the outcome. You're the only chance we have. Men, for such a time as this to stand. Men, explain, teach, lead. Be the example that you ought to be. Genesis chapter 18. This world is trying to undo that which is right. If I could encourage you, dig your heels in. Do not move. Do not waver. Stand strong, stand tall. If you go down standing for righteousness, then you went down admirably. Speaking of Abraham's testimony here, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, it is said of Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. They say Abraham's worth investing in because the principles that you have taught him, he's going to take and teach to the next generation and to the next generation. That is what saved Abraham. His righteousness. Mothers, wives, what is needed? Well, the men need to lead. They need to lead by example, by word. All too often, gentlemen sometimes say, you said mother, so hold on, I need to backtrack a second. All too often we feel like, well, I'll just lead by example. No, our children need explaining to. I understand not every decision needs here's what I'm thinking and here's why we're doing this. But there's got to be an explanation or else they won't know why. Mothers, wives, what do you need to be? Well, if the dad is leading, you know what you can do? Listen, guide. Say, no, you said lead. No, there's a difference between leading and guiding. As dad is out front, mom's kind of behind, keeping everybody. She's kind of like the sheepdog, right? Keeping everybody behind the shepherd. Hey, you're wandering away. Get back. She's the love. She's the support. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Do they still do home ec class? I don't know. Is that still around? No home ec class? Alyssa, do you take home ec? Home economics? Is there home economics class? Is there something like that? Similar, maybe? Very short. I remember having taken home economics class. I hated home economics class. My favorite part was eating. We made brownies. And they made us sew stuff. You walk into home economics class, say, I just want to read a verse about women. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You get run out of there. That's what the Word of God says. Women aren't less. Everyone's got a role. Mother is a guide, a love. Here, let me use this word. Ready? Listen now. A support. As dad leads, you're the support. For such a time as this. The world would like you ladies to be in charge. Say, are you against that? I just don't see it in the scriptures. Say, what about Queen Esther? God used the circumstance. We can always find something. What about Deborah the judge? I understand. Got it. But let's look through the New Testament here and look at the God-defined roles. You want blessings, you do your role. Say, well, I got a problem with that. Then you tell God. You don't have to call me up. You don't have to send me an email. You don't have to send me a text. I disagree with what you're saying. You tell God, I disagree with the way you decided. I am in no way saying that ladies are less. Please. But such a time as this, ladies, that you support who it is that God has established you to be. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. We read these at weddings. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's what it says. And the world is trying to attack that and undo that. You might hear that and go, that's so 50 years ago. Was this the 50s? No, that's the Bible. And such a time as this, ladies, stand for what is right and what is true. Align yourself with the Word of God. Be the glue that holds that family together. You're needed. Guide, love, support. When the kids get hurt, you know where they run? They run to her. You know why? Because I go get a pair of tweezers, I'm about to pull whatever out that ought not to be in there. Where's mom? Mom's at the store. Just love them. That's what they need. Say who? Husbands, children. Bible tells husbands to love their wife, right? Be what you ought to be. Children. Be the example of obedience. Allow the world to see what a child ought to be when God is in the home. Be an example of obedience. Let's look at some verses on that. Proverbs chapter 4. And then we'll be done. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. What does God want from children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God expects you to obey. The responsibility of a parent is to encourage and to help and to nurture and admonish. But what is most important is obedience to the authority. Say why? Because one day mom and dad are going to be moved out and God is moved in. And as a child obeys mom and dad, so they will obey God himself. And here we see the investment or the value of a personal walk with the Lord. Children, you need your own walk with God. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, it says. For such a time as this, young person, to stand for what is right. The world will tell you what is right. It's a lie. It's a lie. It'll tell you you can participate in these things and you can drink these things and eat these things and do all these things and go to these places and experience this and watch this and listen to this and say, you'll turn out fine. Children, obey your parents. For such a time as this, right now, stand up for what's right. We sang those songs, Onward Christian Soldiers. Stand up for Jesus. Those songs weren't picked out by accident. It was to prepare our hearts for the message that we were about to hear. Children, stand up for what's right. Well, I'll do it when be thou an example of the believers. You too have a responsibility. Christian, for such a time as this, right now. So how'd it go for Esther? Well, depends on who you ask. Went great for Esther. Went great for Mordecai. Did not go good for Haman. So how did it end? Well, Haman built gallows. You know what gallows are? It's what you hang people in. Had one specifically designed for Mordecai, by which King Ahasuerus hung him on. Do right. Stand for what's right. For such a time as this. Right now. The world This world needs to see the example of truth. Not that you be perfect, but that you live right. Be an example of what it ought to be. Let's all stand. Young people, fight against it. Fight against the world. Pray for our young people that are in public education. I pray that you could stand up and say, that's contrary to the Bible. Not doing it respectfully, but you stand up for what is right. You stand up and you do what is right. Dad, stand up for what's right. Mom, stand up for what's right. Children, stand up for what is right. Christian, stand up for what's right. Maybe you want to come and pray for courage. Maybe you want to come and pray with your family tonight. Realizing that maybe you're at this moment, at this place in your life, for such a time as this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Queen Esther. Although, yes, we do not see your name written, we see your hand from every chapter of it, how you work. Lord, I see the same in my life, how you've worked in my life. Lord, help us for such a time as this to stand for what is right and what is true. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?